Welcome to the Doghouse on ntnradio.com. And not, you heard it here.
Yeah, you did. You almost made that mistake.
Almost did. And I'm actually not sure that would have been bad because there would have been a lot more people listening to the show.
But yeah, whatever. It happens.
It happens. So anyway, before I get into what I did this weekend, because I actually had an interesting experience this weekend. Warren, did you miss out on the great riding weather on Sunday?
Yes.
Warren, so what did you do Thursday? What did you do Friday night?
Friday night, went out for dinner with my wife.
What didn't you do Friday night?
Obviously, I'm being set up for something.
I'm just asking a question. What were you supposed to do Friday night?
Oh, yeah, I was supposed to give you a call.
Yeah, so
but
I wake up Sunday.
I haven't got the permit.
Warren has said, hey, even a call just saying that. Warren has been saying to me, hey, I'm going to shoot my bike. He's got this cool military-themed bike. We'll have some pictures. Have we put pictures up on our Facebook of that?
I think you should just let it die a natural life.
So put that up, and he's like, yeah, we'll
he's gonna shoot it with
this.
A 45.
I might. Yeah. he's like, I'm gonna shoot.
Yeah, I put in a request for a permit to Antietam National Battlefield.
Yes, and I was gonna go with him.
And you need a permit because you're gonna take the bike
onto the ground.
Yeah.
And I talked to the ranger on Wednesday, and he said it hasn't come in yet. Talked to him again today, and it still hasn't come in yet.
Uh-huh. But he never called Phil to tell Phil. So all Saturday morning, Phil was sitting there going, am I going to go? Am I going to stay? What am I going to do? It ruined my whole weekend.
Are the Rangers at Antietam, like, worried about picnic baskets?
Picnic baskets.
Well, they're definitely worried about you going anywhere off the parking lot. I've been told multiple times, until you have permit, do not go out of the parking lot or off the road.
Okay. Well, it's probably good, and it's probably the ground so soft anyways if you
Yeah,
did.
It'd be tough right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I just was bringing that up.
Okay. So, Warren, be a little more proactive with your communication, I think what he's saying.
Phil, I don't have a permit, so unless you hear otherwise.
Okay.
So, I discovered this weekend that I can no longer put off buying a new helmet.
Yay!
As the innards of one of my helmets
fell out.
Pretty much. Yeah, fell out.
More importantly, Ken, why did you have the helmet on?
So I got to ride a brand new, I believe it was a 2015.
Lambretta.
I could be wrong. No,
Lambretta.
No. A KTM Super Duke.
Ooh.
And I really enjoyed it. And I won't tell you where it is because they're not paying for being advertising on this show.
Although he talked about it at length, if you want to know where it is.
I will talk about it at length off the air. But I will not talk about it on the air because they're not sponsoring
the show.
On the
other show, you talked about it on where you got it.
Yeah, but nobody on the other show's advertising has any value to this business, right?
True.
Yeah. So, anyway, I won't do it on the Doghouse, which is globally renowned as the place for motorcycle information. But anyway,
because Ken's big in Mexico and Germany.
He's huge in Germany. I'm huge in Germany.
So, what did you think about it?
Oh, I loved it. And by the way, what I was I went with somebody who was actually shopping for a motorcycle, and I went specifically so I could get a look at a Ducati Scrambler.
Mm-hmm.
And there were no Ducati Scramblers there because apparently they are pretty rare.
Based on the numbers we saw them selling and we talked about a few weeks ago,
they disappear.
Yes.
Yeah, they disappear very quickly from us. I spoke to the salesman there, and if they're not already purchased before they arrive, they disappear off the lot very, very quickly. And it's like luck. But there was a KTM Super Duke.
So how was it?
And I loved it. I thought it was great. It's a bike I could see, definitely could see myself riding. A little taller than I liked, but not, I mean, the seat height was a little high, but that could be dealt with.
Adjusted, yeah.
Yeah, that could be dealt with. Handled nice. When my helmet wasn't squirreling around on my head, I had a good time. They were very cool about letting, and I know these people at this place here because I've done some stuff with them before. So they were very cool about letting me go out.
There goes our last Greek listener.
Yeah. So I had a good time. I rode around. It wasn't the ideal riding conditions because of traffic and everything, but I did get out on a couple back roads and had some fun. I could definitely see myself owning one.
And those bikes are not really that expensive. No, they're I think they're reasonably priced.
No, yeah, I was gonna say this one was.
Well, which one did you look at? The 390?
No, it was the. It's the. I think it was the next step above that.
The GT.
I think it's the GT. Yeah.
Okay.
So that it's. I mean, the 390 is about $7,000.
Seven. I think the GT is around 10.
Yeah, I think
upper nines.
I think it is like upper nines. But by the time you get out the door, it's going to be a little over 10.
Yeah.
And it. Nice handling bike. It feels lighter than its actual weight. It's not as light as I thought it was going to be, but actually out on the road, it feels much lighter than its weight. Handle well. A good all-around bike. Nice riding position for me. I'm not a sport bike riding position kind of guy. Can't do that for very long. This was a more upright position. But it also had, it did have a feel and riding it much more like a sport bike than a cruiser, certainly. So it was nice, and like I said, I just used distraction because my helmet wasn't fitting me properly anymore because the insides were coming out, and then I should have grabbed shell. I should have grabbed the half shell.
Hey, you know, we've had several shows, and I think Phil can back me up on this, talking about when it's time to retire a helmet.
Yeah, but
and how you should every spring you got to look in it to make sure there's no spiders and you know something hasn't ate insides out.
I did that. I did that.
Oh, all right, so
I actually made sure.
He actually listened.
I actually made sure there was no spiders in there.
And he did that by taking out all the cushioning.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I know this helmet's way past its life, and the problem was I just thought I was going to be riding a Ducati Scrambler, and I didn't want to take a brain bucket there with me. Okay, that's number one. I knew this helmet was beyond its last legs and had to be replaced. But I have a half shell, I have a brain bucket, and I have...
So do you still have that helmet, or did you dispose of it properly?
It's now gone to a place of respect. Okay.
Recycle bin.
No, I didn't actually throw it out.
He's hanging it on the wall of the garage.
No, I'm actually going to give it to the neighbor's kid next door that I don't like.
There you go. Be like, hey, this is a great helmet.
It's a
practice your rock diving.
Exactly. Just tighten it really tight under the chin.
So
it was. I had a nice experience. I really enjoyed it. And if I could spring for a nice Nolan helmet right now, I would. But I can't. So I won't. There you go. So I
think that was a little bit of a dig because I bought a Nolan.
Well, they're not cheap.
No,
you know,
they're not as expensive as an Ari or a Shoei, though.
Yeah,
I agree.
Did we sell off the last of the inventory we had of those? I might actually have
Aria.
We had some.
I think you did when that guy bought all that stuff.
Was there helmets in that? Yeah,
I think there was. Anyways, I didn't do nothing, Ken, because I was sitting at home waiting for a phone call.
Oh.
All right. We'll be back on the other side of this break, and Warren's going to kick us off.
Hello, everybody. We're the doghouse.
Are we? I thought we were hee-haw by that.
Hee-haw. Anyway.
You know, I've been doing this show now for more than 6 years.
Yes.
And I don't have a tagline, and you managed to get yourself one in 1 year.
Not even trying.
Hello, everybody.
I guess you guys have heard of Murphy's Laws before.
Murphy's Law?
Not the TV show.
Wasn't he the guy in RoboCop?
Wait a minute.
Might have been.
Murphy. Yeah, Murphy is RoboCop.
And he was a law officer.
He was RoboCop was Murphy. But Murphy's Law, not laws.
Well, there can be more than one. In this case, there are.
No, I'm pretty sure Murphy's Law is only one.
Yeah, whatever it is, it's only one.
Right?
If anything can go wrong, it will.
Yeah. That's right.
That's Murphy's law. What's Murphy's second law? I'm learning here.
Well, when it comes to motorcycles, there's actually several.
Okay.
I ran across this in a couple different places, if you can believe that. I saw one, and I started searching for more, and I found a short list of Murphy's Motorcycle Laws. A motorcycle cannot fall over without an audience.
That's completely untrue. Whoever did that has never been to my house.
Yeah.
And I don't mean my new house. I mean my old house.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Where I used to go to work, come back, and my bike would be over on its side.
Yeah, I was going to say, at some point, everybody's heard that sound of a bike falling over.
Or come home and found it just
or
over.
Or finding it over there, so.
Yeah, I've actually had mine fall over once, and it's because it's in Myrtle Beach. I parked on some hot asphalt, and by the time I went in and came back out, the asphalt was soft enough that the bike had went over, and it pissed me off.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was my fault for not putting one of those little pucks under it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But for the most part, that is a kind of humorous thing, because you usually, you know, when they fall over, it's kind of funny when it's not yours.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, you just made a lot of friends.
I know, but you see the videos and you laugh at them.
So you should be down in Daytona right now laughing at people, right? And just see how popular you'd be, because I guarantee there's a lot of bikes falling over right now.
I've said some jerk things, but I've never even come close to that.
Yeah, you have.
I mean, now, I've said I would never try and pick up somebody's bike who had fallen over.
Oh, not with them not being there.
Not with them not being there. Don't touch it. No, I won't touch it. But I've never said, oh, hey, your bike fell over. That's funny.
Oh, I would never.
Or just stand there and point and laugh, right?
I would not do that. I mean, like, if I was on a balcony somewhere, I'd laugh.
I'd never do that unless I was on a balcony.
Yeah, you're up there drinking, and you look down, and you see four or five bikes fall over at the same time.
Oh, wow. Okay, your hate mail should be sent to Warren at NTNRadio.
Yeah,
no, better yet, send it to me, Phil, at NTNRadio.com, because I will republish each one of them.
Yes, you probably would. I don't like that.
Wow, okay.
All right, the next one is, the fact that your keys are in your pocket will not become apparent until after you put your gloves on.
Mm-hmm.
That happens to us all.
Yeah, that's actually pretty true.
Yes, that is true.
That's why I started putting my keys on belt clips.
Yeah, you could say the same thing about helmets, too. I've done that.
I've never had my helmet in my pocket.
I've done the same thing. Oh, you might have.
Well,
oh,
you know, Ken has these new foldable helmets.
Yes. Maybe back in your day when they were leather.
Paper.
When they were leather and you tied.
No, I have a paper helmet.
That doesn't.
No, you ever put your helmet on and had gloves on and unable to work the, you know,
yeah,
the chin strap?
That's happened, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, I always forget to at least keep one hand the glove off until I get the chin strap snugged in. So, anyway. Okay.
Quick fixes are named for how long they will stay fixed.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a...
It's not a Murphy's Law. That's just common sense.
It was one of the lists, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
The only part you need to fix your motorcycle is on back order.
On black order?
Back order.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think you said black order. Mm-hmm. I was like, whoa. That's not true.
Sometimes.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's true.
Mm-hmm. Nothing is harder to start than a used motorcycle being showed to a new buyer.
That is actually true.
Yeah.
I just
Ken's is kind of like one of those self-explanatory ones.
I can think of is Vader bike.
Yeah, the Vader bike.
The
problem with the Vader bike wasn't that it couldn't get it started. The problem with the Vader bike is it couldn't keep it running.
Yeah.
A little different.
And what's a Vader bike?
The black bike. You ever see the black bike that I built that was
with the Rhino Linux?
No.
Really?
Is that before his time? I guess it was.
Yeah.
Well, no,
I kind of remember, now that you said it, I kind of remember you talking about it, but I don't think I ever saw it.
I don't think the bike was quite that old.
No, okay. You know, I mean, before his time on the show. Life doesn't exist before the dark.
Yeah, Warren was the...
Yeah, we sold it the summer before Warren came in when you took 3 months off to go pretend like you had a job.
That's true. That is true.
Okay, so that was before you took... So much we have pictures.
But you know what? That was the best thing about it was I also pretended I had a paycheck. So.
Yeah. Pretend.
Mm-hmm.
And this one kind of fits into Ken's story from last week. You will never have a punctured tire until you leave the repair kit at home.
Yeah. Okay.
The tool you need for a roadside repair is still in your garage.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Universal accessories are named so because you have to search the universe to find the motorcycle they fit.
That's definitely true.
That's definitely true.
You know, or the proper bracket for your bike. I love when people say they're universal side bags, and it's like, yeah, did you get the bracket? Oh, hey,
I actually prefer when you buy a part that's specifically for a specific year and model, and it still doesn't fit that year and model. That happens all the time.
Unfortunately, it does.
Yep.
Or when they don't even say it on the package. fits this.
Yeah.
And then it does. Okay, so the last one is interchangeable parts aren't. And
interchangeable parts between like models.
Between models, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's definitely true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's usually always true. Mm-hmm. That's more like Murphy's fact.
Yeah. Yeah, some of these are Murphy's facts.
Yeah, these are Murphy's. He might have more than one fact. I thought he only had one law. But
he only has one law.
I mean, I'll have to watch RoboCop again tonight just to make sure.
There's only one law.
Okay.
Well,
we've already
he was Murphy and he was a law enforcement, so I think that counts.
It's only one law.
One law.
And they all fit into under that one law.
Yeah. So the next story has to do with a Maserati-powered 470-horsepower four-wheel motorcycle.
Where could you have possibly come up with this story?
I think Ken sent it to me.
Thank you.
After I saw it on Fox News.
Thank you. Oh, please. You know, don't temper your enthusiasm.
Can I interrupt for a minute here?
You always do.
I know. The listeners missed out on one of the best meals we've ever had as a group. Before the show, we go out to eat, and normally I don't like plugging restaurants that don't advertise or don't have women.
Then don't do it.
Or have women that wear clothes.
You could just mention the type of food they have.
We went to a wing place.
We went to a wing place that has a special deal on Tuesdays.
And they don't like guns.
And they might have.
Can we make it clear?
Yeah.
I did not know that, but okay. And we went in there, and Ken and Warren were just off the hook trying to out-cheap each other. Right in front of the waitress, arguing over her getting a 30%
Wait,
I am sorry. I want to apologize to everybody that I did not have a mic set there to record Ken and Warren going at it.
Okay, first of all, this was not Warren's fault at all. Okay, it's going to shock you, Warren.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, they were not. Warren ordered fewer wings than me, and he had water, and they were nice enough to give me Warren's bill with my credit card, which I appreciate 100%.
No, we had the bills when she took them off.
100%. So I calculated the total of Warren's bill and the total of my bill, okay, and gave what Dr. Phil has said was the appropriate tip amount, and Warren would not let me give him back his $2.
Here's the problem. The proper tip amount on their two bills was $2.80.
That's correct.
Okay. Which is the proper tip amount. Cannot argue
that. Don't argue about that.
Right? But to argue over $2, because Warren was going to leave $2 on his own, which was a generous tip by that standard.
For a $4 bill.
For a $4 bill, 50%.
Especially given that the waitress couldn't speak English at a volume acceptable to humans.
You couldn't hear her the whole time.
That's right.
But they're arguing over the $2, and the waitress is standing behind them. Just kept looking over her shoulder like, oh, my God.
What was she doing there?
She was ringing up. She was putting in the order for the other people at the other table.
Well, that
was
her station.
So the long story short is I paid cash for Ken's bill.
Well, yes. The long story short is that waitress probably had the worst day of her life because you guys are
she was obviously
over
new.
$2 tip.
This is obviously she was very new to this job.
Which, by the way, was totally appropriate, and I truly do appreciate that. However, for a waitress who couldn't even get the bills right,
mine was fine.
Shut up, Phil. Who couldn't get the bills
you guys
right?
Charged
their own credit cards and everything for her to get a 40% tip. I think is ridiculous. Okay,
right,
sorry.
And Ken's saying that, and it's not 40%. Like, oh my God, it's 40%. Like $15 tip. It's 40%. It's $2.
Don't be honest.
It's $5 versus $3.
It wasn't the waitress's fault. It was Ken's fault.
Yeah, it was totally my fault.
I think she screwed up your bills because of me, but we'll get on that off the air.
Oh, okay. So it's Phil's fault.
I will take the blame. Okay.
It's Phil's fault.
Okay.
Now, I don't even know where I was. Oh, Maserati.
Maserati.
Okay. Whatever. You know, remember the Tomahawk that came out a few years ago, built by Dodge?
Still out there.
Yes. I don't know if they're actually running it, but it's in a museum.
No, they are.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. No, there was four of them built, I believe. Four originally built. And none of the ones that are in museums that I'm aware of that are in museums I don't think were in the ones that were actually available for going out and riding. And
they were just kind of props?
I think more or less they were, or they were never developed to the degree, I guess, that the one they've actually taken out and ridden on the tracks with.
All right. I think I also ran it at Salt Flats as well.
I believe you're right.
Because it got over 200 miles an hour. Right. Well, this bike looks a lot like the Tomahawk. It's got four wheels.
Very much so.
Close together. It's all engine and a little bit of suspension. But this case, the this company, Ludwig Lazarus, the LM847, is producing 310 horsepower. I'm sorry. I'm reading this wrong. See what you did to me? You messed me up. So it's producing 470 horsepower at the and it's with a single speed transmission, carbon fiber aluminum glass body, which I didn't quite figure out because I couldn't find anything that really went into detail on the glass body part.
Can I interrupt you if you don't mind for a second?
Yeah.
What is the single speed transmission? Is it a constant? It's a continuously variable transmission.
Yes, it's continuously
like a belt. Okay. Like a belt transmission?
Okay. That's okay. You say single speed. I said, man, that thing's great, but you can't get it out of first gear.
Stuck your fit.
And it can turn up, lean up to 30 degrees, which I think is more than the Tomahawk. So it outperforms the Tomahawk. But of course, they haven't run it anywhere yet, other than just up and down the street.
What's the name of this bike?
It's the Lazarus LM847. It's got a 4.7 liter V8.
Maserati V8.
And it does look a lot like the Tomahawk. Now, Lazarus says it's close. They chose the Maserati engine because it looked cool.
It does look more cool
than the Tomahawk's engine.
Yes, there's no question of that.
And he says, I suppose if you owned up to it, your inspiration can come from anywhere. This was ours. And that was a pretty good,
I thought he was like, this is ours, like that was us.
It does, at first glance, by the way, when I first came across it, for a second I had to do a double take because I thought it actually was a Tomahawk.
Painted red.
Yeah, painted red, exactly.
And there's a picture of it in this week's post if you go to our site.
And where's that built? France? Italy? It looks like France on their website.
France.
Yeah, well, obviously they don't have trademarks and patent laws in France. That's the first thing I see off this.
Well, I'm kind of wondering whether the Tomahawk was ever trademarked and patented because it wasn't ever intended to be a production motorcycle.
No, it
ever.
Was just a test vehicle for some new tech.
Yeah.
Now, Lazarus will build you this tailor-made bespec motorcycle for $217,000.
That's not bad.
Is that
Maserati?
Yeah,
was that
it
converted?
Is true.
Was that converted from francs?
Listen, all I know is Ragnar Lothbrok would just take the whole city captive and make him marry his brother. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
And if you want to really compare that, though, you can pick up a $25,000 Kawasaki H2 with the supercharger and get 210 horsepower. So
half the horsepower.
Yeah, at half the horsepower.
Here's the thing.
Does not have the coolest look.
Definitely not as cool looking.
This is not a bike you're buying because it's like, I'm going to take it to the track or I'm going to do this. This is the bike that you're saying, I'm going to win every trophy at every bike show for the next 3 years.
And you're going to get more attention on the road with this bike than you would with anything else.
Yeah.
But I'd add, in looking at the picture, though, could you even ride it very far? I mean, the heat that has come off that thing, and there's nothing there to push it away from your body because you're leaned over the engine to get to the handlebars.
I'm going to have to check with Motus to see how the Corvette engine, half a Corvette engine, works in theirs. Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Okay.
Motus every now and then posts up something that the AMA retweets, and it's like, I just send out to the AMA, why don't you worry about tweeting that when they build a bike? Yeah.
But you are right about that. I watched a thing on TV several years back about the Tomahawk that was on TV, and the guy that rode the thing and the things he said, both positive and negative, never mentioned anything about the heat from the motor.
I imagine if you're going 200 miles an hour, it's probably not much. I mean, the wind's probably pulling it all away. But if you're idling at a light,
was he
7 feet tall?
No, he wasn't.
I mean,
you'd have to be close to it.
He was nowhere near 7 feet.
You got to be like 7, 8, 10 feet tall to ride this thing.
Why do you say that?
Have you seen the pictures?
Yeah, of course I have.
You have a whole small block between you and the handlebars.
Yeah, but you know something?
My belly would not make it over that. I can't ride that bike.
Think about a boss hoss. Okay, I knew someone that rode one of those who was like only 5'4".
Yeah, but that's a completely different design bike. This one's made to be leaned over the engine.
What I'm looking at is I don't know if my body physically.
That's not much of a lean.
I'm not sure if my body.
Now the 30 degrees is a lean angle that you can go around turns.
Not 30 degrees.
30 degree lean angle.
Here we go. I'm not sure if my body can physically put my legs that far in front of me, my ass that far back, and my arms that far in front of me again.
Okay.
I mean, you got like to major in yoga to ride it.
Okay.
I noticed. Here's the one thing I noticed.
But for $200,000, they can probably, modify the controls a little bit.
I would pay two people to ride it for me. Here's what I noticed. When I pull up all the pictures, right? You know the one picture I don't see up here? When I go to images?
Somebody on the bike.
Right. Because you can't ride it. This is like an Orange County chopper, just something to put in the in a lobby, in your garage to be cool. This is not rideable.
That might be true, but at the same time, if you get the right type person, you could probably get them on it.
Yes, if Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wanted a motorcycle to be cool, he might be able to pull it off.
Well, here's the thing, okay?
Yao Ming?
If that's the case, why are they offering... why are they offering it for sale? Because they never did the Tomahawk.
Because there are idiots.
And the Tomahawk I know is rideable.
There are idiots out there who will buy it.
Yeah, there'll probably be a couple in somewhere in the Middle East by the end of the year.
Right, because Jay Leno will have one in his garage.
Jay may have one of the Tomahawks.
I think Jay does have one of the Tomahawks.
Right, Jay Leno will buy one. He's not going to care it's $200,000 or whatever.
No, of course not.
Right? I mean, somebody will buy it for their collection. Some Maserati collector will say, I have to have that, which I did not know Maserati actually made real motorcycles in the late 50s.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
I've never seen one.
Well, I think we did see one at the Barber Motorsports Museum. I think they did have one in there, yeah.
It was the one at the top where you really couldn't get a good lab ball.
The one you got real close to. but some idiot will buy it. It's genius. Why worry about building something somebody will ride if some idiot will buy something that you never have to do service on? You don't have to care. It's just going to park there.
That's true.
Well, when you can go over 200 miles an hour, which the Tomahawk does, and this thing should exceed the speed of the Tomahawk by a little, if nothing. So, but that wouldn't do you good if you moved to Scotland. You want to know why? Because Scotland...
They don't have salt flats?
Yeah. Well, they don't have salt flats, but they have a lot of water. But, as nice as a place it is, it looks like it'd be to ride in Scotland. And from what we hear from the people that post on our website, or not, sorry, our Facebook page, there's a lot of good riding in Scotland. Well, that's going to probably be much harder for us to do anymore because Scotland has decided to reduce their speed limit tolerance down from what was a 10% plus 2 miles an hour to 1 mile an hour over the speed limit.
Well, in Scotland, you're lucky. Because they don't have miles an hour there. They have kilometers an hour. And I would just say, I was within 1 mile an hour. The cops are going to be like, I don't even know how to do the metric conversion to American. And just walk away.
Okay. See how you are?
That's so how
you're,
I would do
if you're 1 kilometer over the speed limit, you will get a ticket now. So, and that begins this month. The Scottish government has allowed the police to axe the tolerance down to as little as one. And it does say miles per hour in the
okay
article.
Okay, can I make a point? And I'm forgetting the kilometers per hour versus mile per hour thing. That would be completely indefensible in court in the U.S. because your speedometer
plus or minus five
plus or minus 5 miles an hour. They don't make they don't make speedometers in cars that are any more accurate than that. And if they are, it's just luck of the draw, right? Because the inflation of your tires will affect all that. Wear and tear of parts will change all that.
Right.
So if they said you had to be within 1 kilometer an hour, is that what you were saying? 1 kilometer?
Well, the article, which comes from motorbike writer, our friend Mark Hincliffe.
Okay.
He's saying miles per hour. And,
okay, so the conversion of miles per hour, feels just being curmudgeon. Like, 3 kilometers per hour or something like
give
that?
Give or take.
Okay, they're probably, I don't know how their court system works over there. My guess is that.
Apparently not fairly.
This would fail. It would fail in court because you're going to actually ticket somebody?
Because
they
could have
in their mind.
Well, you got to remember, the government is the one changing the rules. So they probably already got this figured out.
Governments change rules all the time. They can't. Then they lose court battles all the time, too.
Well, the first offense will get you a letter warning, and the second offense, a 100, it's not pounds, I guess, they're on their euro, so 100 euro fine, and 3 demerit points.
Oh, hey, I got a demerit point.
So
for speeding.
The second time you get caught 1 mile an hour over the limit,
you get
100 pounds and 3 demerits.
Look, I'll give them 100 pounds. I got a couple hundred extra.
Bill's got it to spare.
I'm going to Scotland just to get speeding tickets. So yeah. Thin again.
There's just okay. There's no way. I mean, I can't believe their court system is so screwed up that you're going to actually allow people to get 3 demerit points on their license
over a speed you can't measure.
Over a speed that their speedometer can't be accurate enough to measure. So is everybody like now going to have to get GPS speed devices?
But as a government representative of the police department, my radar gun is extremely accurate.
No, every radar gun is.
They have to be calibrated.
It was calibrated this morning, and you were 1 mile an hour over the limit.
They're all plus or minus 5 mile an hour.
Yeah, I mean,
That's why when you're driving long
distance.
I'm being
facetious here.
I understand. If you're driving long distance in the U.S., the quickest place to get any place is 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. Cops won't touch you. You're moving faster than traffic, but not fast enough to draw attention. And that's just the perfect speed. Now, I want to bring us back to the Tomahawk and the Maserati.
That would definitely get you a 100-pound fine.
It will. The Tomahawks, the peg controls, and this is what I noticed on the Lazarus, and I never really paid attention to Tomahawk, your foot controls and your pegs are backed by the back wheel so that you're actually leaning forward with your legs behind you kind of like you do on a flat bike.
Right, right.
The Lazarus, the feet controls are where you'd find them on a normal motorcycle. That's why I don't think
it's below your hips.
They're actually in front of your hips according to the pictures.
They look like forward controls in these
pictures.
They're
forward controls. Yeah. That's why it's not rideable. But anyways.
Yeah.
You heard it here. Oh, wrong show. Damn it. But I can't see in Scotland, and William Wallace, what they need to do is get on a hill, show the cops all their genitals, and yell, freedom!
And paint their faces blue.
And paint their faces blue and stuff, and then drink with the Irish and stuff like that. I will come join them. I will do that. If they want to do that, I'll do that with them.
Well, you heard it here. All you got to do is get some free beer for Phil, and he'll be on the next plane over.
I'll probably take a boat. I don't want to go through the TSA searches.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, folks. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about noise-canceling helmets. Or the fact that there is one now.
Is it like Ken's helmet where you just take the whole inside out before you go for a ride?
Ken's helmet, the inside falls out on its own. You don't take it out.
Did the skylight you cut into the top of the helmet work?
I think it was probably like the stuff that I... What is that I'm feeling going down my neck in the back? And it was pieces of my helmet.
Yeah, no, that's common for you. Oh, hey, bada-bing, bada-bing, bada-fuko.
Okay, folks, as we went out, I talked to you just a little bit about the noise-canceling helmet. Well, Senna, the company that's most famous for... Am I saying their name wrong? Because I'm not.
Oh!
What, Senna?
Yeah.
I didn't say anything about that.
Well, you snickered.
I snickered because you said noise-canceling helmet. I said mine was noise-canceling, too. I took it off my head.
He got all... Warren was going to throw you a beating right there.
That was.
We make fun of his pronunciation all the time.
How's it spelled, Warren?
S-E-N-A.
That sounds like Senna to me.
Yeah, they're the ones that make the Bluetooth stuff that fits on almost every helmet. They got stuff for everything Bluetooth, so you can hear your radio, so you can talk to your friends that are up to a mile away, etc.
There's so much valid stuff to make fun of, Warren, that I won't.
Yeah,
I won't
that's too easy.
I don't need to create one. Okay.
Well, anyway, they've decided to come out with their own helmet, which they don't have. And it's going to be what they call a smart helmet because it's going to also include intelligent noise control to help keep you calm, alert, and focused. And also, as a benefit, help reduce hearing loss from wind noise without the need for earplugs. So just like a Bose noise-canceling headphones, mm-hmm. it's going to take the ambient noise and then use the same frequency of sound to cancel out the noise. So the interior of your helmet is going to be quieter because of that. So you're going to have built, and there's a picture of it in our post this week. So you're going to have a set of headphones that will always be making noise, which you shouldn't be able to hear, to counteract noise of the road.
Wait a minute. You're saying headphones as in the walls of the helmet on the inside?
A headset in the walls of the helmet.
Not like earbuds you'd need
not
to wear
earbuds.
Inside. Okay.
So it'd be speakers okay. in the helmet.
Right.
Now, it's also going to be able to bring in
is it really expensive? Because I could use one of those ones at home because every now and then I got noise I want to cancel at home.
You need to go see my earbud guy who makes the earbuds I wear at the races.
Yeah.
They're flesh-colored earbuds, and you put them in, and you can't really hear nothing. You can get little speakers so you can plug them into your computer or your scanner, but I used to use those pistol shooting, and everybody be all mad at me. You got to wear ear protection. I'd be like, what? I can't hear you. And they're like, you wouldn't be deaf if you had headphones, you know, things on. And I'd pull them out and be like, what did you say? You know.
Yeah, I learned that lesson the hard way going to a NASCAR race without hearing protection.
But just so that you can wear those at home, then the person who you're trying to not hear wouldn't know.
Very good.
Maybe you can loan him a pair.
Ew.
No, I'll get my own. You don't loan.
I've done some gross things, but sharing earplugs is not one of them.
Well, Senna says their new lightweight carbon fiber smart helmet has a luxurious fit, ventilated shell, and intelligent noise control. So it's and I saw this up at the Timonium show.
Motorcycle show.
They had one there when Senna was doing anything. I didn't get to try it on because they you're not going to have road noise, but. So the helmet also features an ambient mode, which also allows you to hear without taking your helmet off. So I assume there's a switch there that when you flip it on when you're riding so to cancel out the noise, and then you flip it off when you're coming to a stop or you want to talk to somebody.
You can have a conversation
yes. with someone. And the helmet also allows you to do all the plug-and-play Senna Bluetooth modules so that you can do your cell phone calls, listen to music, talk to fellow riders at the touch of a button. So I like what they're doing with this, and the fact that they're coming out with their own helmet means they're really taking this stuff seriously, and the fact that it's got noise canceling built into it made me want to go take a look at it, and I did online, and if it comes out even half what they're saying it is, it's going to be pretty impressive for a $600 cost.
When you're using it for like a cell phone, right, mm-hmm. if you want to make a cell phone call in there, now is there a microphone inside the helmet?
Yes.
There is.
Yes.
Okay.
So, just like my Nolan.
So if I'm making, just like your Nolan. So if I'm making a phone call and I have the helmet on, does it disable the noise cancellation or does it keep that in there while you're playing the phone
call? That's a good question. It's not in any of the things I read talked about that. I do know that it has some kind of, it allows you to switch from ambient noise to noise cancellation. Mm-hmm. I would have to make the assumption that it would do that automatically for a phone call. Because otherwise, there's no way for you to do that.
Well, and if the noise cancellation is not in there when you're in a cell phone call, then pretty useless.
No,
right?
Well, you got to remember that it's whatever sound it's picking up on from the road and your exhaust, etc. That frequency is what's being canceled. The rest of the noises, if it's not within that frequency, you're going to hear fine.
Right. So you would hope that when you were in a cell phone, it would apply the same noise cancellation to what's outside the helmet. And let you
hear the conversation better.
Hear the conversation better.
Right.
And if they don't, then I would find it useless.
True. And I assume that that is something they've taken into consideration because,
it's a big assumption. And the other thing, too, is that it's a carbon fiber helmet.
Yes.
Okay. So is it?
They say they don't have the dot.
Okay, I was going to ask that.
Yeah, but it is in the process of it.
Okay,
we've had that conversation about DOT before.
It's $1 million expenditure just to get that. Okay, up front. Okay.
So they are putting the effort into bringing out something that no one else has. I'm applauding them for doing that, and I really hope that I get the chance to try one of these things out in the future.
Yeah,
because I'm impressed with what they put together.
It'll probably be a bit of a dilemma because it's like, do I buy this helmet or do I buy a Ducati Scrambler? Because the price is probably the same.
Price is $600.
$600 for this helmet.
Yes. Then, of course, it'll go up based on whatever options you had to.
Right? That's not, no, $600 is not cheap for a helmet.
No.
No, I didn't say that. It's high-end helmet, but it's not like.
How does it compare to your Nolan?
Yeah.
It's twice the price of my Nolan.
Okay. So there you go. It gives you an idea. And you have, except for the noise cancellation.
I don't have noise cancellation.
But you have pretty much the other features.
I have all the other stuff. Right. I can, plug it into, I got the hardwired because I prefer that to the Bluetooth because Bluetooth batteries die fairly quickly.
That's true.
You just plug it in there and then I got it however long I want to run it.
Right.
All right. So is that quick enough for you, Phil?
Oh, that must be Warren.
Look at that. I'm making a call for my... Hey, I'm on my Harley Ultra Glide right now.
Yeah, you wish. I can't get it to stop. How's that? I just thought that would be kind of a jerk sound effect to play.
All right, we're going to go out to... This is a real quick segment because we're going to go out because we've got a lot of racing to talk about. Phil has stuff to say and we have to listen to him.
We don't have to, but we will.
You don't have to.
We call it surrender here in the studio.
It's payback time after this. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of World Supersport. World Superbike is racing again this weekend. And then we had Daytona Motocross with some Supercross, I'm sorry. With some weird... It was outdoors and it was big. I'm sorry. I got caught okay. With a little bit of weird results, I thought.
Oh, okay. We'll see.
Disclaimer here, I am not a business attorney. That is full disclaimer. I will say that. Anything I say can and will not be used in a court of law because it's absolutely
It translates into, if Phil tells you something is legal or Phil Look tells you up. Something is illegal, pay,
Look
no,
it up.
Pay no attention.
Look it up.
Pay no attention.
Where do we want to start? Let's start with a little bit of World Super Sport from last week.
Yeah, which I went back and I did.
Great race.
I did watch and I thought it was a great race. And I think there's nothing to take away from that race, I will say.
Well, here's what I will
Inspector
take away from
Inspector Clouseau can wreck in the same place on multiple times.
Jacobson's fast. Sofoglu's fast. Clouseau's fast.
All things we knew.
Krumacher is fast.
Randy Krumanaka, and we knew that from his MotoGP.
And those two other guys that showed up out of nowhere are fast.
Yeah.
What I see this being is what America was, what Daytona Sport Bike was for AMA a couple years ago. I think this is going to be the sleeper series to watch for the best racer.
I think there's
seven guys that can win any race.
I just want to say that the big news I took out of that race was, in his first World Supersport appearance, Randy Krumanaka was
pretty darn good.
Not only competitive, could very well have won that race.
Actually,
there's not many people you can say that about. Okay, yeah. So that's a problem. Okay, that's a problem for PJ.
That's a problem for everybody there.
Now, I think actually, things worked out. It turned out to be a great race for PJ Jacobson because
everybody else was crashing.
Yeah, well. The fact that you had, Clouseau and Sofoglu didn't collect any points is great for PJ, right?
Yeah, but he didn't get to capitalize because he pushed it hard.
He didn't get
dropped back to ninth on second to last lap.
He didn't get to capitalize that. But what, he finished sixth, didn't he? I thought he finished fifth. Yeah, so that's decent points.
Decent points.
11. Yeah, but the problem is that's the good news. The bad news is there's more competition out there this year.
Yes, and I think it's going to be a lot of good racing.
I don't think given that Clouseau and Sofoglu weren't in the mix up there, I'm not sure that you can read too much into the finish. Other than Krumanaka, I think is going to be there all season.
Yeah, he's going to be there all season. And those other two guys that I don't even know their names, it shows you how good I am at this. Mm-hmm. They were hanging out in the top seven all day.
Yeah.
You know, the other two, I guess, rookies to the series.
That was it. I mean, there was a pack that raced the entire race.
Within a second.
Yeah, less than a second, I think they were apart. A group of like eight or nine riders that stayed. So it's gonna be like Moto 3 has been.
Yes,
it gets decided in the last couple laps.
And I love that. I think that's gonna be great.
I think PJ
definitely would have finished higher and probably had a good chance of winning if he hadn't went wide right there.
Well, here's the problem. Okay, the problem is Sofoglu was way faster than everybody else out there, and had he not come off the bike, he was the only one that was able to gap the field.
Yeah,
and then he fell off.
But you're always fastest before you crash or blow up. That's in the Bible.
He was fast all weekend. I mean, he was noticeably like a half second a lap faster.
They also give him more horsepower because you get a half a horsepower for every decade you are older than the next person. So that's what I wanted to. I just am excited about World Superstars.
Randy Krumanaka should have got a lot more. You know, Randy's probably the oldest one out there.
Yeah, I know.
Shh. I remember him racing in MotoGP.
In the 70s.
In the 70s. Not quite, but.
The 60s.
Okay, yeah. we should move on. Because we got a lot to talk about. Mm-hmm. Do we want to? So, World Superbike is going to be at Thailand this year. If you're in this week, mm-hmm. You're in the pool. Get your picks in. So that's they're going to be in Thailand. They're already there. They're getting ready to begin their race weekend. MotoGP testing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ken demanded that we talk.
Ken demanded we talk about it.
I thought we should because I thought there were some pretty noticeable things.
Well,
go
notice,
ahead. Say
notice
what
force.
You think is noticeable. And let me.
Okay, so
combat that.
Okay, well, boy, you're going to kind of hard to argue. As much as it dismays me, Lorenzo right now looks like he's extremely strong heading into the season. And Marc Marquez, all but the third day of testing was almost non-existent.
And my answer to that is it's testing.
Go look at last year's testing.
I understand, mm-hmm. but it's still testing. You know, you talked about during the break, Suzuki looks really fast and competitive. And the mm-hmm. Hondas don't look nowhere near as strong as the Yamahas. The Yamahas look stronger and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I say it's testing and the season's almost 3 weeks away. Still 3 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
Two and a half weeks.
Yeah, about 2 weeks. 2 weeks away from this weekend. But, okay, like I said, you can look at prior season's testing, and the actual testing does tell you quite a bit. And let me talk about Honda for a second. Two problems Honda's having. They're having problems with the Michelins, okay? They're having tire problems, and they're having ECU problems. The ECU problems were sort of predictable. Yamaha seems to have adapted to the spec ECU way better than Honda has. Honda got some speed in the final day of testing, but still I think they were a half second off of Yamaha. What does that mean going into the season?
Nothing.
Well, no, it does mean something. We don't know that it means nothing.
If they don't get it fixed, it could be a lot.
It's a big ask to make the Yamaha's not going to sit still. They're going to get better over the next 2 weeks as well. Honda is trying to get to the point where they're competitive with the Yamaha, and they have their moments and everything. But I noticed, one of the things I noticed, I don't know if you noticed in the testing, Phil, the field was much closer in testing this year and all the tests than they were last year. So the spec ECU is definitely making a difference.
Yeah, I agree with that to a point where I say, okay, maybe you're Honda and you're tanking it because you don't want people to know how well, you don't want Yamaha spending all their time working with the ECU.
Why didn't you tank it in the testing last year then?
Because you were on your own ECU and Yamaha was... Mm-hmm. Yamaha was developing their own stuff.
Yeah, but
you don't want if I'm Honda, I don't want Yamaha to know I found something fast.
Well, here's the problem.
I don't want them looking.
Problem is, you can't fix a problem you're having with the ECU because you can't touch
it.
Because
the same ECU,
right? So you can't change.
But I mean, like setup to go along with it. I just with all the tanking it you see in racing these days in every form of racing in testing, I find it hard to take anything out of testing anymore.
Look at
World Superbike.
I totally disagree with you because they're having to deal with big, big changes this year with the spec ECU and a new tire, you know, a new tire provider in there.
Honda got new chassis this year again? I mean, they had one last year that they rolled back for Marquez to the previous year. Are they coming out with a 17? Chassis?
Well, they're 2016. They do have a 2016 model of the bike. But there's just all kinds of, there's all kinds of stuff going on throughout the field. If you looked at it, I think we're heading into a much more competitive season. But right now, it looks like the Yamahas are awful strong, and Rossi's not as far ahead as Lorenzo is. That's not a good start right
now. Yeah, but
now.
We're also looking at Suzuki in the top four. Five.
Well, the thing with Suzuki is Suzuki's always been fast. The problem was durability on the motor. That we don't know about it. But
so why is that? Why doesn't anybody seem to test race distance?
Well, there were a few people who did actually put in race tests in there.
Watching World Superbike last week,
mm-hmm.
they talked about, well, we don't know if Tom Sykes' tires are going to hold up. And, I mean, I literally said that to the person
right,
I was watching the race
I think at World Superbike, Jonathan Rea was the only person who'd put in a full race simulation.
Right, and it's mm-hmm. like, I'm testing. This is your problem all last year. Mm-hmm. Every test I had, that dude be out for 20 laps.
And I agree with you. I agree
and
you.
I don't understand why they don't do that in MotoGP. I don't understand why that's not done. I can see in a sport where you have pit stops. Where you go out and you run 20 instead of a full race distance, mm-hmm. you run your pit windows for your testing. Your F1, IndyCar, NASCAR, whatever. I can't see on a series where you are not pitting mm-hmm. why you wouldn't say, okay, Tom Sykes, let's see how your tires hold up.
Okay, that's World,
Marco,
that's World Superbike. In MotoGP, I think there were some teams that did full
but
race
Suzuki,
simulation.
Let's see if you'll do a full race. Let's see if the motor will hold up.
I
didn't see where they ran a full race.
I think Suzuki did do some because they've had the problem with durability of their motors. So maybe they've solved the durability with the motors problem this year. We'll see.
If they
do, that's going to be a competitive bike. But the thing is that bikes that were not competitive last year will be competitive this year.
We'll see. The one thing you've not said mm-hmm. that has really surprised me is you haven't said anything about Ducati. Now, I haven't looked at anything on testing, but Ducati was the big surprise last year.
Because Ducati's, I think, sort of where they were last year. Okay. I don't know that they've made a big step. They're still not. They're still not beating out Yamaha. Suzuki's
their best lap was sixth fastest at the end of all time.
Yes, right.
Which is where Ducati's have been for.
Well, you know, you say seventh, not sixth.
Well,
I think it was eighth technically.
Eighth.
But yeah, Ducati and World Superbike different than Ducati and MotoGP. So. But we'll see. We'll see. Like Phil said, some of that could be
tanking it.
It could be tanking it. But right now, they have to get the tire and the suspension stuff in there. You can't get that by tanking it. The only way you can get the setups right for the suspension and the tires, the only way you can do that is to race hard.
I understand, and we'll see. Maybe with the spec ECU testing, will be more practical to. What actually happens on race day.
Until
the green flag flies, I mean, until the checker flag at the end of Qatar in 2 weeks goes, not going to believe any of it.
But you're going to have to make a pick, you know.
And I already told you, I'm picking for Qatar.
Oh, you
did?
The
most consistent guy over the last 5 years there. Rossi.
Okay.
I said that.
Okay.
You heard it here.
You heard it here.
You heard it here. All right, let's talk some Supercross since mm-hmm. MotoGP testing means nothing.
And there was some good racing in Supercross on the 250 level. It was just freaking awesome by the time you got to the final.
First off, they were in Daytona, which is a huge track for Supercross.
It's the longest track that they have
it's
of the
bike
season.
Week. There's a bunch of drunks there.
And it's always...
And you can see them in the stands.
Even when it doesn't rain. It is a very soft track.
It is soft.
Very, very soft track, which played right into Jeremy Martin's skills. And that's
he's a motocross.
He's a motocross guy and there was nobody who could, in my opinion, who could compete with him on that track.
Well,
there definitely was.
I
don't think so.
You know,
yeah.
Malcolm Stewart led the first
Malcolm
He ran every lap except the last turn.
Malcolm Stewart did what Malcolm Stewart does, okay?
No, he went way further. He led till
to the last turn.
Three laps to go.
Yeah,
no.
Did Malcolm Stewart come in?
Fourth because he crashed in the last turn.
Well, no, he stalled the bike.
He stalled the bike.
He crashed first and then stalled the bike. He hit the tough box. That's why he stalled. He ran into the tough box.
Here's the problem. Malcolm Stewart had the lead. He had it for many, many laps in there, but he never was able
to
get it. He never was able to dust off Jeremy Martin. He was back there waiting.
Because Jeremy Martin weighs 100 pounds less on these light. Malcolm Stewart needs to run a 450.
Bad choice. Yeah, bad choice then.
Malcolm Stewart needs to be on a 450.
Or drop a few pounds.
He can't. I don't think. Unless he cut his hair. He can cut his hair and probably get 15 pounds.
That's probably true. But that's a tailor-made situation for Jeremy Martin.
It was.
I mean, Jeremy Martin struggles in Supercross. He's the first person that would tell you. So he wants the track to be as rutted as possible because he knows that's his strength.
Well, he did talk about it in one of the pre-race interviews. Yep. He says, this is one of the few times where my outdoor skills really come into play.
And I mean, to me, that really is just an outdoor track. I mean,
it is. And it's like I said, it ruts up easy and it's soft and it plays into someone who's got stronger motocross skills. Yes.
Justin Hill had a good showing. Mm-hmm. Martin Davalos had a pretty good showing.
Little disappointing for him.
But for a guy who I thought
it was only second race
with four laps to go, I thought he was going to finish sixth.
Right, right.
He got up to third by kicking over Malcolm. No, by being there when Malcolm crashed.
There were at least two riders I know that have a lot of reasons to thank Malcolm this week.
Yes, and Martin Davalos is two of them.
Right.
But it was a good race. There was a lot of racing going on in the thing. I will agree with Warren on that.
Yeah.
Well, it was the final race for the 250 was the better race of the night.
Now, did either one of you guys, I was watching for about halfway through that race, the end, know how it was going to end? I honestly knew how it was going to end. I knew.
I thought Martin was going to catch him and pass him.
Yep.
I thought
he couldn't shake him.
He couldn't shake him. He couldn't gap him. I thought he was going to come in second. I was not expecting him to
drop,
dump the bike.
Yeah, right.
I wasn't seeing that.
I wasn't seeing him dump the bike, but I knew he'd screw up.
I think he would have got past fair and square. I don't know if it would have been a screw up. Mm-hmm. Then in the 450s, big news for Monster Kawasaki.
Yep.
For the first time since Ryan Villopoto left, they got a 450 win, which was what?
And
35 years ago?
And someone other than, Dungy actually looked strong in that race. And you know what? And we should mention there.
It's the first time this season.
That was Eli Tomac that won the race. Eli Tomac, I think, is another guy that's strong on a track like that. I think that's what helped him.
He's an outdoor kind of guy.
And I'll tell you what, Dungy rode a hell of a race trying to catch him, and he just didn't quite have enough.
Yeah, which, we've always said Dungy's a little weaker outdoors.
I thought he was going to catch him. I really did.
He got down to
0.3 seconds at one point, and I thought he was going to catch him.
Yeah,
I think the soft track did him in because I don't know if it's a tire selection or what. But
Dungy's pretty good motocross guy, though.
Yeah, but
He's a 2 or 3-time motocross.
He knows how to run in those conditions. But
I just thought it was Tomac's night.
Well, definitely was from the start.
They'd been having lots of problems. Kawasaki had been, and they found something this past week. So they had demonstrably better speed, and maybe now he's going to be more competitive going forward.
Yeah, we'll see. He was talking about that on some of the interviews about working hard and how he's fast at home on his track.
Right.
And by the way, I think this
past weekend, Chad Reed celebrated his 70th birthday,
I believe. So happy 70th, Chad Reed.
Did a pretty damn good job considering his age.
Well, they spotted him a second for every age he was older than the next two people combined.
Yeah.
And the other guy that has done real well the last two races is Muskin. He finished third this race.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he was competitive the entire race.
I should also mention the fact that there's Ken Roczen wants to kill about 5 people after this race.
At least 5 people. Ken Roczen cannot be happy.
No.
That was a miserable race for him.
He got slammed in the during the beginning of the race. So
we'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel.